Hello, and welcome to the Cybersecurity Awesomeness podcast, hosted by Enterprise Management Associates, an industry-leading IT analyst research firm that provides deep insights across the full spectrum of IT and data management technologies. The Cybersecurity Awesomeness podcast will take a deep dive into the security topics that are top of mind for information security practitioners, IT professionals, and technology business leaders. Join security experts Chris Steffen, VP of Research at EMA, and Ken Buckler, Research Analyst at EMA, for some truly awesome topics. Chris and Ken, take it away.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the Cybersecurity Awesomeness podcast. I am your host. My name is Chris Steffen. Joining me today is my friend and colleague, Mr. Ken Buckler. Today, we are going to be talking about something that is on the mind of pretty much every security professional out there today, and that is the RSA 2024 conference. The RSA 2024 conference is in, 2 weeks, 10 days from when you're listening to this podcast, and everybody in the industry is getting themselves ready for it. We always do a little bit of a preview of what we're going to be seeing, what we're going to be talking about, what we would like to see more of, whatever have you. And we've come across 5-6 trends that we're going to talk about a little bit that you can kind of start to auto-populate your buzzword bingo card for RSA before you go. So with that, let's kind of start talking about those a little bit. Ken, the first one that we had on this list was, which I consider to be the center square, which is AI and cybersecurity. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, you know, it's probably not surprising to anybody that AI is taking the center stage when it comes to cybersecurity. And of course, the RSA conference is not going to be any exception to that. A lot of the keynotes at the conference are actually going to be focused on the transformation that AI has brought to the cybersecurity realm. Now, to be fair, AI has actually been around in cybersecurity for a lot longer than I think most people are realizing now. And part of that has actually been in the finance industry. The finance industry probably has pioneered a lot of the AI usage for fraud detection, to detect fraudulent credit card transactions. So we're really going to see, though, with the large language models and generative AI, we're going to see huge leaps and bounds when it comes to some of these cybersecurity solutions. So a lot of focus on threat detection and response and overall improving cybersecurity posture proactively, leveraging AI, is what's really going to be the focus of some of the keynotes.
Yeah, I want to take and talk a little bit about AI just in general. One of the things that I want to make people very aware of is that we are co-mingling the terms AI and automation. When you start talking about automation, the security realm has been leaders in automation for a long time, from analyzing simple firewall logs to some threat incidents, whatever have you. AI and automation have been very present in the security realm for ages, okay? What makes it AI instead of just automation is that now you're asking the computer to make some interesting decisions based on data that it's analyzing, data that it's collecting, and do so without necessarily having a lot of human interaction. That's where the real AI conversation is going to be going. I don't think that we're 100% there yet. I think that there's a lot of interesting companies out there doing some interesting things. I wrote about one yesterday. It'll be released here today or tomorrow. Everybody will see it before even RSA starts, about a company with an NDR solution that is using something that they call Autopilot to help with your incident response and incident detection. And it makes all of the sense in the world. It's a great use case for AI in general. You're going to see a lot more of that as AI continues to mature. And again, it is the center square of your buzzword bingo. Everybody's going to be talking about it. You literally have to have an AI solution even to get in the door at RSA this year. So I really think that we're going to be talking more and more about that. Another one that I wanted to talk about specifically is community collaboration and resilience. And I'm going to start with this one. We all probably have heard at this point that our friends at Splunk were bought by Cisco. And I actually have a lot of respect for both of those companies, no question about it. My biggest concern about the Splunk acquisition was not the technology part about it. It never was. It was always the community. If you've ever been to .conf, and I've been lucky enough to go the last couple of years to .conf, the community, the Splunk community, is maybe the best in the industry. They are zealots. They are rabid fans. And I love each and every single one of them for the insanity that they believe. It is so high energy, and it is such an awesome vibe that I truly, truly hope that my friends at Cisco do not put a damper on that community. It is what makes Splunk maybe the best solution out there from observability that there is because of the Splunk community. I don't want to see that community hurt. And so I think when we go to RSA this year, we are going to talk about how community collaboration is happening and how that helps companies not only support their product, but continually improve their product and offer resilience to the customers buying their products.
Yeah, you know, I can't say enough good things about how important it is to have a strong community behind a cybersecurity product or solution, because developing that solution, deploying that solution, that's just the first step. Then you have to use it. And that's the biggest thing is, you know, I loved it when I was in the federal space, because we had in the federal space, we had a user group community for all of our cybersecurity deployments, where we could actually collaborate with each other and see what was working the best, learn off of each other's best practices. And we actually had basically a Wikipedia that we were putting all of our best practices on for how to do this, you know, how to properly secure our systems using the tools that we were investing in. So to be able to have that kind of a community around a product, around a cybersecurity solution, is so absolutely critical.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And we'll obviously talk more about that as we go on too. Another one that I wanted to talk about was policy and governance. Again, the idea that the government is coming up with less regulations is laughable. The government will always be coming up with more regulations. Add to that the idea that vendors are passing along those regulations. I coined the term a long time ago called pass-down compliance, where you have a Bob's Big Bank and Trust. You want to do business with Bob's Big Bank and Trust. Therefore, you have to comply with a lot of the standards that Bob's Big Bank and Trust has to, despite the fact that you just generate paperclips. I use that example all the time, and it really resonates with a lot of people. But policy and governance is really what is driving a lot of security. A full quarter of all security spend, according to our EMA's research, is coming from the policy and governance and compliance perspective. So this is a trend that is here to stay, and we're going to be hearing a lot more about it.
And, you know, something I really like about, you know, some of the policy and governance keynotes that are going to be at the conference is that they go beyond just regulatory frameworks and compliance, but they also talk about ethical standards. And I think that's important. I think it's important that when we're doing cybersecurity, when we're protecting systems, when we're protecting users, we need to at the same time keep those users' privacy in mind, keep the user's personal information protection in mind, and also to make sure that their personal information isn't abused. And that really ties a lot back into the artificial intelligence we talked about earlier. So, yeah, I'm very happy to see that they've incorporated ethical standards into that conversation.
Yeah, me too. I totally agree. Another one that I wanted to talk about was the idea that there are advanced and emerging threats and attacks, right? This is not something that should be news to anybody. Those threats and attacks are evolving daily. They're using AI, they're using intelligent bots, they're using whatever have you. We're going to be hearing a lot more about that. The great news is that the vendors are out there are starting to really pay attention more and more to this. I'll say this too, it's something that I talk about all the time. We as an industry are great at detection. We are wonderful at detection. We are not very good at the idea of response, remediation. And I think when you start taking and talking with these vendors at RSA, talk to them about detection. They're going to talk about advanced threats. I fully support that. Talk about how they're going to remediate some of those advanced threats. That's really the second part of that equation that needs to be addressed. And I think you're going to be hearing a lot about that at RSA.
And also importantly, too, is, and I think they're going to touch on this in the keynotes, is that we need to keep moving towards more defensive strategies, keep moving towards more preventative and not just detection and response. Because if we can prevent an attack, well, then we don't have to worry about responding to it because we've already blocked that attack from happening in the first place. So I think that's going to be absolutely critical, especially with AI in the mix. You know, I'm starting to see a lot of more interesting AI leveraged attacks. And let me give you a great example on that. All right. So I'm sure everyone's seen on social media the posts about, hey, you know, come get your car cleaned, or, you know, or, hey, I need some money, blah, blah, blah. And a lot of the times you can tell that these are copy and pastes of somebody else's posts that somebody is just, you know, sitting in some boiler room, basically going in, making fake social media accounts, posting these posts over and over and over. And that's how you detect them, is you look for the exact same post everywhere. Well, now with AI, that you can't do that anymore, because all you have to do is go to the, you know, ChatGPT and say, hey, reformat this this text for me so that somebody else, or so that I can, you know, post it. And it'll reformat it for you. And now you've got a unique attack every single time on social media. And we're going to start seeing that with malware. And we're going to start seeing that with business email compromise. And we're going to start seeing that with phishing. It's going to start being a lot more unique attacks. So we have to evolve our detection, our response, and our protection measures to account for the more unique attacks, the fact that the attacks are not going to follow the exact same pattern every time anymore.
Yeah, and I agree with everything you just said. And it also comes to the last point that I wanted to make, and that's involving the human and the human-centric approach to cybersecurity. One of the things that our automation and AI hasn't figured out yet is the smell test, right? If something doesn't smell right and feel right, then it probably isn't right. And yeah, again, eventually AI is going to get there. I know that for sure. But it doesn't change the fact that we still need talented cybersecurity professionals as part of every cybersecurity strategy that there will ever be known to man. We are not anywhere near the point where we can buy a product. And again, I promise you about this, so don't buy it at RSA either. We can't buy a product, install it, and say, go handle my security and be done. It doesn't exist yet, right? You're going to have people in the mix understanding advanced threats, understanding what's going on, understanding the things that don't pass the smell test, and what does that mean to your organization. Sometimes it may not mean anything, but more times than not, it's that weird feeling that you get from reading a strange email or something that just doesn't seem right or doesn't click, that is your first indicator that maybe this is not right or maybe this is an attack. And so I want to talk a little bit more about that at a different time, but the human-centric approach and leadership is not going anywhere. This is something that is definitely going to be a constant part of the conversation at RSA. I also wanted to include in there about the whole place of the CISO at the executive table. The SEC ruling that came out last year, this is the first RSA conference that we're going to see after that ruling came about. You're going to finally see that CISOs finally have that real business sense of what's going on at the table, and they're going to be able to start doing things for the company that they've never been able to do before. Both those things in general, I think, are going to be talked about by vendors at RSA.
Yeah, and you know, I'm going to be honest here. I would not want to be a CISO right now, though. I really wouldn't. And the reason for that is just because that's another whole podcast, right? Well, yeah. Oh, it absolutely is. But you know, just because of the possible legal ramifications of, you know, even if you intend to do things right, if you get one thing wrong, then there's a possibility you might be going to jail. So
well, and it's
there's
even
a lot
bigger
of pressure
than that.
On them. There's a lot
yeah,
of pressure
yeah, it's even
on
bigger
them.
Than that, though, too. It's the, let's say that you as a CISO bring up, I have these five priorities to the board of directors, and out of your five, only two of them are accepted and funded, and you have a breach that occurs because you didn't implement one of the other three. Well, who's liable for that? You brought it up. You said, this is what we need to do. You tried to make it happen. It didn't happen because of priorities. And now you are liable because of the decision that was outside of your control. That's weird. And again, we'll talk about more of that later, but it's one of the evolving conversations about the human element in cybersecurity that, again, we're not even marginally done talking about.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. No, I'm really looking forward to, you know, some of these more executive level discussions, because if we don't have executive level representation for cybersecurity, you're never going to get the board, the executive level, to get it. So I think at the end of the day, the executive level involvement of CISOs now is a positive thing for the industry.
I completely agree with you 100%. So, well, we kind of gave you the brief tour of what we're interested in. Feel free to comment, feel free to share. And if you're at RSA in 10 days or whenever, try to bump into us. We'll be around. We'll definitely be highly visible and around. A lot of meetings going on between Ken and I at RSA, probably 60 plus between the two of us. So again, we'll be around. I really look forward to meeting everybody there. Always interested in what your opinions are about RSA. Let us know. And until next time, thanks for listening.
Thanks, Chris and Ken, for all your great insights on today's topic. Make your next podcast awesome when you work with EMA security experts Chris Steffen or Ken Buckler. Educate your prospects, differentiate your solution, and add the credibility of a third-party expert to your message. Visit cybersecurityawesomeness.com to listen to past episodes.